This is the Love Foco Show.
There's stuff like you're just making payroll,
Yeah. You
know, cash flow, and making sure that you have enough money to pay your team, because I found out at some point employees don't like to show up if they don't get paid.
Welcome to the Love Foco Show. Our podcast highlights the incredible people who make Fort Collins the place we're proud to call home. Each week, your host, Jeff Faust, sits down with local leaders, community champions, and changemakers to share their stories, what they love about our city, and how they're helping it thrive. So whether you're out on the trail, at a brewery, or walking through Old Town, thanks for tuning in.
What makes a great small business leader? I'm so excited to unpack that question through our conversation today with Sean Godby, the owner and operator of Old Town Spice Shop, a local business here in Fort Collins. I'm so thankful that Sean spent some time with us today. In his story, you'll hear all kinds of things, from how he got a beer named after him, from his passions for the outdoors and how that bleeds into his small business, and how old school characteristics like integrity and collaboration and relationships make a difference in everyday leadership. So grateful for Sean and his time with us, and I hope you enjoy this conversation today. Well, Sean, thank you so much for giving me some of your time. I'm really excited to hear more about your story, tell your story to Fort Collins and the surrounding area. The nature of the Love Foco Show is I always want to get into what you're doing to love our city and give back, and what, how you fall in love with our city. I like to start every podcast the same way, just hearing a little bit about your story, particularly your Fort Collins origin story. And we all have such different stories, and yet our stories are kind of weaved together in this city. And so for you, were like you born and raised here? Did you move here? Tell us a little bit about your Fort Collins origin story.
Yeah, so I moved here when I was a baby, so like pre-one.
Yeah, so pre-memories,
yeah.
This was your parents' decision, not your decision.
That's right. And so grew up in Fort Collins, actually south of Fort Collins, which is now Fort Collins. You know, I remember when Horsetooth was, you know, the farthest south part of Fort Collins.
Yeah.
And so, you know, lived in Fort Collins growing up, went to, you know, Werner Elementary and then Preston Junior High. We were the second class through Preston Junior High.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then Fort Collins High School, the new Fort Collins High School, but I think we were my brother and I were the third class through, or second class all the way through Fort Collins High School. And then CSU graduate, and so I've traveled
really
a lot.
You're really a hometown guy.
Yeah.
I always love, like, whenever I talk with people, whenever they start, you can tell the folks like me who transplanted in, like, after their adult life had begun, and folks who grew up here, because they almost always start with the phrase, I remember when.
Yeah,
like, sure. They just, something about, like, the city is just ever-changing. Of course, it is still changing today. Yeah. But you go back 10, 20, 30 years, I mean, it's incredible to see. And hear stories. I hear stories. You have real stories of how the city has just emerged and changed and expanded, and even migration within the city.
Oh yeah.
And the patterns of migration within the city and Northern Colorado is super interesting, I would imagine.
Yep. The good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's all of it for sure. And that growing city adds all kinds of different complexities for sure. So you said you moved here when you were pretty young, but where were you actually born? Like, where was
Phoenix.
It in Colorado? Oh, Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
Yep.
Sweet. So your summers are a lot more mild now.
Yes, and I appreciate it. I don't do well in the heat.
Yeah, I've got some friends that live there in July. Is like, why?
Yeah.
Why on earth? Like, it's the opposite for us. Like, people are always escaping January, February here to enjoy hotter weather. So
yeah, my grandparents still live there, and so I visit them periodically, but I prefer not to visit during the summer.
Yeah, for sure. So. Well, we are standing right now in your Old Town Spice Shop, which I want to get into you as a business leader in our community and get into all of that. But I do find myself curious, like, your upbringing, your childhood, what led you to want to tackle business? And like, were you always a business mind? Were you always kind of leading class projects as you, you know, lead your company now? Or where did this stuff come from?
No, I never wanted to have my own business. The idea of doing business for me for a lot of years was just not interesting. Didn't have any real want to go down that route. My grandpa, who I've always looked up to, was a business owner, and he owned Dasco Pro. And so if you go to Ace Hardware somewhere, those blue chisels and stuff, that was his company.
Oh, cool.
And so he always wanted me to get a business degree and that kind of thing. And my drive was more outdoorsy. Okay. And so my degree is in recreation and tourism.
Oh, really?
I love hosting people to, you know, natural things, and, you know, getting them outside and getting them into nature and just seeing what's special about every unique location.
Yep.
And so that was my hope and goal was to do.
And did you like, as a child, did you like grow up in scouts or,
just
like you're just a product of Colorado and you're hiking and skiing and doing all the stuff? Like,
yeah, both and.
Yeah.
I did scouts and, you know, we grew up, my dad was a wildlife biologist.
Okay.
And so, you know, growing up, I would go out and work with him in the field. We would work on black-footed ferrets. And so he was on the original team of reintroducing black-footed ferrets to the Western U.S. And figuring out what that looks like and everything. And I still do that today with my son. Him and I still go out and work on ferrets.
Really?
Every, you know, once or twice a year with friends that are still in that industry. And and so, you know, that's other fun things that I do just to stay in the things that I truly have passion for and love.
But,
you know, business is also become a huge love for me, and growing small business, working with other small businesses and, you know, working with our team and providing jobs and, you know, all sorts of things like that.
It's fascinating to me how much of our lives today, like you can reach back, you know, you can reach back to your dad and doing stuff in the biology department, you know, and working outside and seeing that kind of continue on in your life and hopefully your son's being exposed and growing in passion for that as well. But you can reach even further back another generation and see your grandpa owning this business. And, you know, I think your words, like his desire for you was to step into this and yet still those seeds were planted.
Yep.
And here we are today. What kinds of things do you remember about your grandpa? I mean, you said that you've always looked up to him. What were some of those characteristics or some of those things that kind of drew you to him and who he was?
Yeah. He even today, he is a strong man that, very, forward on what he thinks. Don't always agree with him, on some of the things he thinks, but, he always operated his business and his life in the same realm of, you know, my word and my handshake means that I'm going to do what I said I did. I'm going to do.
Right.
And business today has gone away from that. And so that saddens me. But I still try and find, you know, little pockets of that. And Fort Collins is one of those communities that for the most part, you can still do that and operate in that realm.
It's kind of a bummer, isn't it? Like, I mean, just like reflecting on what you just said. I mean, you could probably fill in the blank with like the characteristics that we would identify that, but maybe integrity would be a great way to describe that, right? It's kind of a bummer that integrity is like old school.
Yeah.
Like, why can't that just be normal? Like, should it be old school or new school? How about it's just like the way that we should move forward? That, it's kind of a bummer that integrity isn't necessarily like synonymous or like part of the way things are going. So that's a great thing to see and witness and continue to implement. And you had begun to talk about how that's still kind of part of the lifeblood of Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, how do you see that operating? I mean, obviously we're not talking giant, although there are big corporations in Fort Collins, but, mm-hmm. but you're a small business owner, probably connected with a bunch of other small business owners. That integrity is still part of kind of the culture of Fort Collins in a way.
Yeah. So we, because we are an ingredient supplier, whether that is to home cooks or to businesses and restaurants or breweries or distilleries or anything, a lot of what we do is you know, working with people to find a common goal, you know, or fulfill a common goal. For the home cook, it might be, how am I going to season this dish or something like that. For another business, it might be, you know, we need a lower price on this to be able to have a competitive edge in the market. And so, you know, we go into business with a handshake and figure out how we can be mutually beneficial. Yep. You know, I recognize that my customers on the commercial side need to be able to make money, which means that I need to be competitive on pricing. I recognize that we also provide something unique. And so, you know, you said small business to small business. An example is when we were moving locations, we needed to move our production facility or create a production facility. When we first opened, we opened on Linden Street and did everything in that facility. So we brought in product, we ground product, we packaged product, we blended there, everything and sold there. Today, we had to break out that production because we moved to a location that didn't allow for it. And so I was talking to another friend of mine who owns a brewery in town, and he also had another food-related business. And he let us move into his back hallway and rent that from him. And we didn't have a lease for the first, I think, 14 months we were there.
Yeah,
it was just all on a handshake.
Yep.
And knowing that, you know, when utilities came in, we had a percentage that we were going to pay, and we paid it. And that neither of us were going to do something to rock the boat too much for the other.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that's just a case study for small businesses working together. We did formalize a lease at some point, just more for, you know, liability reasons and that kind of thing. But then we also do that with
that does feel old school though.
Yeah.
It almost feels like you spit in each other's hand and grabbed each other's hands and shook on it. And,
yep.
But that's sweet. That is like the mutually beneficial thing.
Mm-hmm.
That helps, you know, everybody thrive.
Yeah.
The rising tide lifts all boats, and these small businesses can support one another and help each other move forward. I feel like even just hearing that little piece, though, I do have like so many different questions. One of the things that I'm curious about is like how you get in the spice game in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you like recreation, outdoor major at CSU, which was probably incredible because like you can go up to the mountains.
And oh, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, all kinds of stuff. Where did the turn take or like where did you take the turn towards spices?
Yeah.
And running a small business, because again, now we're in your old town shop. We're surrounded by incredible smells, all kinds of hot sauce and spices and salts and you name it that we can buy. How did you get from one place to the next?
Yeah. So the business idea was originally my brother's. We are family business, always been a family business. And he essentially had the idea of, he went into a spice shop. He was living in Montana and was like, oh, this would be fantastic in Fort Collins.
Right.
And Fort Collins at the time didn't have any spice shops.
Okay.
Currently, I think we have three. And so he brought it to our parents who were looking to invest in something at the time. I love my brother. He's an idea guy. He's fantastic at what he does. But he's not at that point in his life, And he's vastly changed from this. At that point in his life, he wasn't a great builder. Mm-hmm. He was a dreamer, and you know, so his dream for our business was to open a store and then open four more stores within 5 years.
Okay.
And there's a lot of reasons for that in that strategy, but it doesn't eat. It never happened.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of reasons for that as well. Our parents got divorced first year into business, which meant that nobody wanted to put any more money into the business.
Sure.
And so, you know, that was hard. But the idea that my parents were putting in all this money and they didn't want to necessarily rely on my brother to do it, because he's, you know, like I said, the idea guy.
Right.
And so they came to me asking if I wanted to do the operations of it. And so at that point I was like, yeah, that sounds interesting and fun. And so that's when I delved into it. Over the years, my brother, I bought him out. He moved to New Orleans and then to Florida, and now has his own law practice and that kind of thing. And he just was like, I'm not doing anything with it.
You know,
feel free to buy me out.
Yep.
And then my mom passed away and my dad retired and was sick of the passive income messing with his retirement accounts and stuff.
So, yeah. So it's interesting, right? I mean, I have, I have a sister, my brother unfortunately has passed. But even watching my kids grow up, like seeing the different giftings, seeing the different personalities, like in my children right now, there's probably an idea person. There's probably an execution person. There's probably someone who's just ready for the party and just ready to have a good time too, you know, and these things make up a family. These things make up, even momentum and inertia for next steps. And so, yeah, thanks for sharing part of that with me. And I have to imagine that even though, you know, four or five shops in a number of years, even though that didn't happen, you have two locations that you've already mentioned. Mm-hmm. I know you've been a mainstay here in Old Town as long as I've lived here. Mm-hmm. And so, and I also know you produce all kinds of spices for all kinds of businesses.
Yep.
So something has gone well for you. Your leadership and the demand and your ability to kind of innovate and move forward with times. Sounds like business has been good at times as well, including probably struggles, but
sure.
How has you know, the spice shop grown over the years?
We've grown in a lot of different ways. But it started with that integrity piece. And so we were doing, it was probably 14 years ago or 13 years ago that I was walking in the back door from our business, and I saw one of the owners of the brewery and it was actually the same brewery that we ended up renting space with later down the road. But he all the breweries at that time, there were seven in Fort Collins at the time, were getting together and they were doing a collaboration beer, seven breweries. And it was called the Collusion Ale. Huh. And they were all getting together and trying to figure out what they wanted to brew and how they wanted to do it.
That's fascinating to me because I from the outside looking in, I mean, I probably couldn't name all of these breweries, but I imagine O'Dell's was part of them. I imagine mm-hmm. New Belgium, you know, some of these, or even some of the smaller ones, like was Horse and Dragon.
Horse and Dragon wasn't around then.
Weren't around yet.
So it was...
That's like one of my personal favorites.
Okay.
By the way.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
We sell to them. We work with them regularly.
Awesome.
So it was New Belgium, O'Dell's, Equinox, Cooper Smith's, Crooked Stave.
Yeah.
Crooked Stave was originally founded in Fort Collins.
Really?
And then moved down to Denver. And then. Opened a tasting room up in Fort Collins and has since closed that, and they're back in Denver.
Yep.
And then there was two others that I'm not remembering.
But it's interesting to me, like, because again, I think from the outside looking in, I would be like, oh, these guys are like fighting for customers.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to one spot, you're going to the other, you're loyal to one.
Yep.
You'll drink this other stuff if it's at maybe your friend's house. But what you're describing is a pretty collaborative approach, even within space that would maybe, want to earn more business from one of their competitors.
Yep.
That's really interesting to find collaboration in the midst of competition, I guess.
Yeah. And so what I did is I went up and said hi, you know, shook his hand, and he's like, hey, I want to introduce you to some people. And at that point, I was introduced to all the, you know, brewmasters, all of the,
Phone's just going on. I mean, this is the life of a local business owner.
Right. introduced to all the brewmasters, introduced to all of the brewery owners, if they were there, and, you know, took the time to shake hands and talk to people. And, you know, they were saying they were doing this collaboration beer and they just wanted fun ingredients in it. And so I walked them through 30 ingredients that they could use.
Yeah.
And they chose some. And that was when I first got connected to New Belgium as well.
Okay.
Which
you have your own little story. As I'm standing here with you right now, just behind your shoulder, I see the Great Godby, which is an oak-aged sour. That is your name. How do you get in the spice business, but then how do you get a beer named after you? I mean, that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it started with that handshake.
Yeah.
You know, being able to connect with the purchasing team there and saying, you know, how can we work together? How can we make this, you know, mutually beneficial? They were an independent brewery at that time. And so they came to me and we started sourcing products for them regularly that they had a hard time finding or couldn't find. We connected with them with some other organization, other places, if it's something that we couldn't, you know, provide for them.
Yep.
And then what we did is we actually, they have, I think, 7 brewers, or did at the time, different divisions of the brewers. And as we grew and made better connections in our industry and were importers and that kind of thing, then I would meet with the brewers and say, you should be using this ingredient. Yeah. I've got a great source for it. It would be awesome in this beer. And then, you know, from that became this, you know, relationship with their brewers, always looking for fun things and that kind of thing. And that's where that beer came out of.
Yeah.
Was, you know, one of their brewers called me one day and was like, I have this idea. I want you to write a recipe for us. We're going to brew it. We're going to call it the Great Godby. And it's going to be awesome.
That's sweet.
And I was like, ooh, I'm not sure about the name.
Yeah.
And I talked to my wife about it. And she's like, nope, they're too good of a customer.
Yeah.
You got to let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we went forward with it. And, you know, I wrote the recipe for the beer. I helped brew it. And then, you know, they brought it out in Bombers. And, you know, it sold in Colorado and at their Asheville brewery.
Oh, that's sweet.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
Quite the honor.
Very cool. And the breweries, correct me if I'm wrong, but the breweries, they're not the only major employers that you're doing business with.
No.
You're providing spices to all kinds of different folks.
Yeah.
Small, medium-sized business, whatever it is, major employers, even with CSU, right? So tell me a little bit about some of your other partners. I mean, how else are you, like, where are you else are you selling spices?
Yeah. So it all goes back to that handshake integrity.
Yeah.
CSU, we got connected. One of the chefs would come in and buy specialty items periodically and got to know him a little bit. And his name is Steve. And one day he came in and he's like, why is it that I have to come here? He's like, we should just be buying from you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I agree, you should.
Yeah, I can help you make that happen.
Yeah, and he said, are you going to be here for another couple hours? He's like, I'm going to bring the purchasing team here. And, you know, an hour later, he walks in with the two guys that make purchasing decisions for all of the, you know, dorm restaurants.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of food.
Yeah, you know, we shook hands. We talked about what we could offer, that kind of thing. We had to go through the bid process through the state and
sure.
and all that kind of thing. And so they've been buying from us for, I don't know, probably 12 years
wow.
now.
Yeah.
And you know, it's pushed us to be better.
Yeah.
But it's also
I would imagine they use a lot of spices.
Yeah.
There's a lot of humans over there.
Yeah.
Major employer and a lot of people moving in and out of our city through the university. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then same thing with businesses. You know, restaurants in town that are wanting to, you know, have something uniquely their own. And so, you know, Austin's wanted their own Cajun seasoning for their popcorn shrimp, or yeah. they wanted their own, you know, grill, you know, seasoning for their steaks, something that's really going to make them stand out.
Yeah.
And so we work with them on recipes and, you know, same with, you know, Silver Grill, you know, we make their hash brown seasoning, and, you know, the Music City Hot Chicken, we make all of their seasonings for, you know, their spice levels and heats and
yeah.
And those guys, what's funny is I've actually known them since we did Cub Scouts together.
Really?
And so, you know, that was I got an email from somebody and was like, hey, can we meet about this? And
yeah.
and we get together and I'm like, I know you.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of reconnect over.
It's just so years. Interesting to listen to you because, I mean, if anybody's listening to this podcast and they're a business owner or they want to start a business or you just want to do like a little bit of a case, we could do, you know, a whole semester on small business and entrepreneurship, of course, and we couldn't capture it all in one podcast.
Yeah.
But in the last 10 minutes, I've heard three key things just kind of come out from you, just to reflect back to you. Mm-hmm. I hear integrity, like this is just the mainstay. It's part of who you are. It's part of how you were raised and what you witnessed in the generations before you, but you've made it part of who you are, and that's blessed, you know, your company and the way that you lead today. I've heard collaboration, even in the midst of people that would maybe be seen as competitive against one mm-hmm. another, they're still collaborating together, which seems really important. And now you're pulling on just relationships, just history of relationships. It, you know, you got connected with these guys because you did Cub Scouts together
yep.
and these things, you know, our lives, they're just a collection of stories and relationships and
yep.
and you can lean on those to grow your business. And so, yeah, I mean, integrity and collaboration and relationships, that'll get you pretty far.
That will.
In a lot of spaces.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, thanks for sharing that. I think that's incredible. So you've been here for and leading Old Town Spice for how many years now?
This would be our 16th year.
16 years. Would highly recommend anybody to come into your retail shop here in Old Town. The shelves are filled with all kinds of goodies for your own kitchen as well as gift boxes and all kinds of mm-hmm. things for other people. But you've been doing this for 16 years. You weren't born here, but you were essentially raised here and you grew up here and went to school here. I always, yep. whenever I talk with folks that have been here, they just give me the rundown of the schools too. I love
yep.
that.
Yep.
All the way through CSU. What have you really come to love about this city and what are the things that stand out to you of like, this is where I want to keep calling home, not just yep. call home for a while, but like, I don't want to go to Phoenix. I want to stay here. I want, you yep. know, what about this place has helped you fall in love?
Yeah. I would say the community, you know, just everybody is so passionate about outdoors, passionate about food. I mean, Fort Collins has become quite the little foodie town.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of different food ingredient retail stores. There's lots of restaurants. A lot of those restaurants are local restaurants.
Yeah.
And a lot of the really successful ones that have been here for, you know, 50, 80
yeah,
years.
Yeah, they have a history here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that history I love. I love being able to walk anywhere in Fort Collins and run into people that I know.
Yeah.
You know, Fort Collins is becoming a bigger town, smaller city.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not somewhere, like I could go to a restaurant and I will run into somebody I know.
Yep.
I can go to, you know, shopping and it doesn't matter if it's Old Town or if it's down, you know, east of town or, you know, south of town. I'll still run into people I know that, or I grew up with. I've got friends that we went to preschool together.
Yeah.
And I run into them randomly, periodically, just say hi and, you know, sort of catch up.
Yeah. And you had mentioned that you were married, that your wife, you know, gave you the wise words of, no, just go with what New Belgium wants. That's that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You guys have children as well.
Yep.
And so you're in the school system and your kids are making these kinds of friendships too. And and man, being a parent of kids in school, like, it's a whole nother way to meet all kinds of people and fall in love with the city and fall in love with people because there are all the activities and all the stuff.
Yeah. So I've got a daughter that's at Fossil right now.
Yeah.
My son is at Front Range now. And so he's probably going to be transferring over to CSU in the next, probably next year if I had to guess.
Yep.
But he's just getting some prereqs out of the way, just make it a little more affordable.
For sure.
So.
Yeah. Well, I've never done this on the podcast before. I've always been in someone's office or I've been, you know, outside trying to manage sound and things like that. But we are here alone in your store right now before you even open. Could we like walk around?
Sure.
And just tell me, maybe, I'm sure you have all kinds of things that you love in here, but I'm looking at anything from spices to sauces to gift baskets that you can buy. What are like some of your go-tos here in the store? That if you're like, listen, if I was gonna buy these four or five, this is where I would go. This is what I'm drawn to. Do you have some of those in your store?
It's always dependent on what I'm cooking. And let me preface it that 99% of these are my recipes.
Really?
And so that's like choosing between kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You have an affinity for all of them.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but I do have my go-tos.
Yeah.
Our grilling seasonings, I grill a lot.
Yeah.
Smoked meat a lot, that kind of thing. The SPG is my go-to for sort of all-purpose seasoning.
Yeah.
You know, that's even steak or, you know, going a little further and just like some, you know, pasta or something needs just something. It's a go-to. It's very different than most SPGs out there because one of the peppers we use is a green peppercorn, not just black peppercorn.
Yep.
And so it provides a lot more depth of flavor.
Yeah. Well, and I love even just coming down the row here, I see the SPG. And then I see some of your like outdoorsman stuff coming through, you know, the bull elk game rub next to the truffle sage crust, black-footed ferret, you know, I mean, this is like fascinating stuff just to see kind of even your history and some of your passions bleed into the execution of how you're running your business too.
Yeah. Well, so those came out of the sort of a multi-purpose thing. I wanted to get seasonings into our national parks.
Yeah.
And so that's still a continued conversation that I'm having, with, some of the national parks and stuff, but, my, you know, small business can be all consuming. And so you have to have your own, you know, brain space that is away from doing business. And for me, one of those things is wildlife photography.
Okay.
And so,
just helps you clear the head.
Yeah,
kind of helps find that margin where you can entertain your thoughts.
And so these rubs were a way for me to showcase my photography.
Yeah.
And so they're, I think all but one of them are my photos.
Yeah.
That I took and, you know, just able to bleed business into personal a little bit.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that because I'm not sure, you know, if you're not running a small business, you might not know. People might just think it just means less zeros than a major corporation.
Yeah.
But there are different challenges.
Oh yeah.
For a small business owner. I mean, I have to, I don't want to imagine. You tell me, like what, particularly, you know, years ago and then going through even COVID in Old Town. I mean, that had to have been a challenging time for small businesses and all kinds of.
Yeah. You know, I would say there's a ton of levels of issues around small business and operating a small business. One of the biggest hurdles is regulations.
Mm.
Every industry has their own regulations and stuff. And so you know, I was talking to a small business owner yesterday who found out that the items in a store for a small business are taxed annually until they are depreciated. And so he opened a new store with his wife for one of her things that she was doing, and he found out that, oh, we have, you know, $200,000 in shelving and you know, equipment to be able to operate this business. And Larimer County shows up and says,
here's your bill.
Here's your bill.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we already paid for all this. And they're like, yeah, but you got to pay taxes on it. And he's like, well, we already paid taxes when we bought it. And he's like, no, you got to do that every year.
Wow.
Until it's depreciated. And he's like,
what do I need to do?
No,
I need
idea.
Scuff it up a little bit.
And so, you know, and so there's things like that that you just find out.
Right.
And
in a small business, you don't always have like a giant finance team or a giant legal team to lean on with some of those things. It's got, that's going to run through you guys.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's stuff like that. There's stuff like, you know, just making payroll.
Yeah.
You know, cash flow and making sure that you have enough money to pay your team. Because I've found out at some point, employees don't like to show up if they don't get paid. And I'm right there with them. I don't want to come if I'm not going to make money.
For sure.
And so all of that can, you know, taxing on the mind.
Tell me a little bit about what's over on the other side of here. I just see a sign that says beer.
Yep.
And then I see hopped up coffee and are these beans that are roasted with different spices, or are these things that someone would buy to like make their own like garage beer?
So hopped up coffee was a collaboration again.
There's that word again.
With a friend of mine that had a coffee shop here in town. It's since closed and he's moved out of the area, but him and I were drinking a beer at Odell's on the patio, and we were talking about how we could collaborate together. And so at that point, we started talking about, you know, well, what would it look like for us to make a coffee that had beer elements?
Yeah.
You know, beer town, lots of breweries, that kind of thing. And
lots of coffee coming now.
Yeah.
Has that always been part of the thing, or have I just just noticed like a little bit of an explosion in the last 5 to 10 years since I've been?
Yeah, I would say the last 5 or 10 years, it's definitely expanded.
Yeah.
But you know, there's always been the underpinnings of coffee culture.
Yeah.
In the area, and so we you know, having worked with so many breweries and stuff, like, well, we could write a recipe.
Right.
And so what we did with that is we took locally roasted beans and then blended it with malted barley, hops, and spices to mimic different beer styles.
Yeah.
And so there's a Scottish ale, is a black IPA. We did a lemon wit. We did you know, a chocolate porter, you know, all sorts of things like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So lots of fun. And from that, we also made a hopped up seasoning line. And so it's similar. It's, you know, beer centric for seasonings. So there's a Dunkel, there's a hazy IPA, you know, and it's infusing those flavors into whatever you're cooking.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet.
Yep.
That's sweet. What a cool little shop that you have down here. And I know there's way more operations in your place down south where you're actually doing all the grinding and the packaging and the shipping and everything like that. I've so much appreciated this conversation. I would love to land it with just kind of one last question, let you riff on this, talk about it any way that you can, because we've talked about your origin story, how you even went from childhood through the Scouts, outdoors to the Spice Game. We've talked about what you love about our city. Just, I feel like I learned a lot about leading small business and just ways that, and values, I would say values that have kind of, helped lead you forward. I'm curious, though. I would love for you to talk a little bit about ways that you are loving our city. And our phrase is Love Foco. We're trying to love our city one life at a time through the services that we provide. As a local business owner, Just as a man, as a leader, as a father, husband, how are you loving our city? How are you giving back? Tell me a little bit about ways that you're kind of demonstrating that kind of love to those around us.
Yeah. So we do, as a business, we provide gift boxes and stuff for auctions all the time.
We've experienced some of that generosity ourselves. Yeah, thank you.
So our philosophy on giving is to give to everybody that asks. Hmm. And so if you come in and you are trying to raise money for a nonprofit, you have to be a 501c3.
Yep.
And that's just our check to make sure you are a legitimate, you know, organization.
Seems fair.
And you will, if you come in and bring your paperwork and ask for a donation, you will walk out with a donation.
Yeah.
Everyone on my team is empowered to make that donation.
Yep.
They don't have to ask. Nobody has to email me anything, nothing. It's everybody does it.
Yep.
And so we give thousands of dollars in product away every year to help fund all of the causes in Fort Collins.
There's a lot of
good
nonprofits in our area.
Personally, I serve with our church.
Yeah.
And so I serve on the security team, and then I also work with the missions department periodically, and I work with an organization called Serve 6-8. Mm-hmm. And so they have a feeding team that we're working with them business-wise to be able to make something that they can sell, we can sell, and it would go back to help them financially.
Yep.
And so portions of those proceeds will go back to Serve 6-8. My son and I, every week, we volunteer at the Rocky Mountain Raptor Center doing perch maintenance and that kind of thing for, you know, the raptors that are being rehabilitated.
Yep.
You know, so we love pouring into the city.
Yeah.
Well,
it just sounds like this is just kind of innate with small business men and women.
Yep.
You know, you are hyper local. You're going to prove that by setting up shop and employing folks from the city, providing things for, but also you find yourself involved in the nonprofit world, volunteering, because this city is part of who you are.
Yep.
And I think that's apparent. It's apparent spending time with you and hearing part of your stories. And we'll put links in our show notes to places like Serve 6-8 and the Raptor Place. I know I've been in small contact with them as well. And my son first heard that, he had illusions of Jurassic Park. And I told him, no, we're talking about a different
kind type of raptor.
We'll put links to all of those as well, because I think all that stuff is worth learning about. And Sean, I just appreciate your time. I appreciate what you're doing for our city. And I just want to say out loud again that if you have not been to the Old Town Spice Shop, make sure you come in and stop by. You will not be disappointed. So, Sean, thank you so much for your time.
Yep.
And we'll let you get back to it.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the Love FOCO Show. If today's conversation inspired you, share it with a friend who loves Fort Collins as much as you do. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a review. It helps more people discover us. To learn more about Love FOCO and find opportunities for loving our city one life at a time, visit lovefoco.com. For now, keep loving Fort Collins well.